All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on this Friday. We're live out of Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, the Constable, Chase McCabe. Big finish coming up at 9:45. Also, up next segment, we're going to get into a little, I need a ruling on a violation. We'll get to that coming up at 9:15. But a big one tomorrow night, Rupp Arena, number one Tennessee, heads to Lexington to take on the Cats. We talked about it to wrap up the first hour of the show. Let's get back into it now. What do you think, if I were to say the blueprint to win in that environment is what? What would you give me the answer?
I think they have to – I mean, the cliche coach answer is play fundamentally sound defense and execute on offense. But I think here's the critical matchup for me. How Tennessee attacks Hagen's – the point guard for Kentucky on defense when he's handling the basketball, because he has not been he's not a great shooter, and he's been turning the ball over a lot lately. He's got not even a 2-to-1 turnover assist to turnover ratio. He's averaging 4.5 assists, 2.5 turnovers. Meanwhile, Jordan Bone, on the other hand, 6.5 assists, 2 turnovers, almost more than 3-to-1. So a significantly more efficient point guard Jordan Bone has been than the young Hagans. And so I think how they attack him on offense, are they going to pressure him to create turnovers? Are they going to lay off of him once they get into the half-court set to make him make shots? I think the guard matchups are fantastic to watch from an intrigue standpoint, more of a strategy style, because Keldon Johnson is, when he is right and focused and into the game, can be a dominant force. You cannot let him get hot, because when he's focused and into the game, he's great. When he's not, he disappears. Iro is a guy that can just knock down shots and is going to score double figures. So the guard matchups are fascinating to me. I think it's more important because I think Grant Williams and P.J. Washington are going to just knock bodies all day long. That's going to be a great matchup. Then you look at Schofield versus whether it's Davis or maybe a perimeter player. I don't know who they're going to put on Schofield because he's such a matchup problem. So the coaching thing between Barnes and Calipari is fascinating to me, but I think it comes down to the point guard matchup, which – if Hagans can handle the pressure on defense and can make shots and distribute and play efficiently, I think Kentucky wins. If Jordan Bone gets the better of him and Turner and Bowden can truly handle themselves in that environment and play smart, efficient basketball, then I think Tennessee can go in there and win.
I feel really good about the matchup tomorrow night. I know Kentucky's going to be probably a small favorite. You know, you saw what LSU was able to do Tuesday night, and I'm thinking about it from this perspective. We know that the Vols are very balanced. They've got 6-7 guys that can get you a handful of points each night. But do you feel like this is one of those games where you can win by just being a fundamentally sound, balanced team in that venue? Or does Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield have to play like stars?
I think when you're talking about two top five, top eight teams in the country, you got to get production from your best players. So that's why I'm sort of almost discounting the Washington-Williams matchup, because I think they're both stars, and I think they're both going to get theirs. And it's going to be fun to watch. I think, frankly, to keep an eye on, because, again, last year's game in Knoxville is a great microcosm. P.J. Washington and Grant Williams went head-to-head. When Washington was in the game, he played very well against Grant Williams, held him to 6 points and 4 rebounds in 23 minutes. But he got into foul trouble. We've seen Grant Williams deal with foul trouble at the end of games sometimes. So if those two guys are going at it the entire game, which one of those guys plays more disciplined, you know, keeps out of foul trouble, is a huge factor. So we kind of have to say, all right, those guys are going to be great. I mean, P.J. Washington is on a tear right now. Grant Williams is on a tear right now. I know he didn't play great against South Carolina, but he's the player of the year right now in the SEC. You have to sort of just say, all right, those guys are going to be good. What are the other factors that could come in? And Keldon Johnson, to me, I don't think Tennessee's got an answer for him. If he is mentally into the game. When he is mentally into the game, he can take over and go on an absolute tear, and that's where I don't know. I'm not sure who takes care of him on the Tennessee defensive side of things. When he's on, almost nobody can stop him.
You know what's funny is coming out of that LSU-Kentucky game on Tuesday, I felt really good. And then we did the show Wednesday. You were off, and both Chase and Rex Rhode had said, you know, do you really see Kentucky losing two straight at home? They were saying, well, Kentucky's going to come out ticked off for greatness. Does that angle factor in for you?
I think it's a minor thing. I think when you're a team that's that good that loses that few times, right, it's only their fourth loss of the season, you don't think those couple of days of practice are more agitated? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's like extra motivation. I'm ticked off for greatness. It's just, I know if this, let's just speak from a Tennessee standpoint. If they lose to Kentucky on Saturday, you don't think the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday build up to the next game? I don't know when exactly the next game is, but you don't think those couple of days of practice wouldn't be incredibly intense under Rick Barnes? You bet.
Oh, yeah.
You bet they will be. So I would just say that what it does is sort of it zeroes you back in. You're refocused. You are upset about it. You use that as motivation, and then you probably have some really serious, serious practices. Now, Tennessee plays Vanderbilt, for example, I think on I think that would be Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. If they were to lose to Kentucky, I'm sorry. The way that Vanderbilt played them in here in Memorial – I'd be very concerned if I was a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a bloodbath if they lose to Kentucky. If they beat Kentucky, they might come back home and the practices might be a little more lackadaisical for a couple of days because you're resting on your, as Christian Laettner said in that great March Madness video where he made a hammock out of the nets he cut down. He's literally resting on his laurels. I think if you beat Kentucky, you exhale, right? Especially on the road, you exhale and you can't help but have, you know, a less focused practice the next day. And part of what makes great teams is their ability to even that all out mm-hmm. throughout the course of the year. I think Kentucky, being very young and not necessarily a great team yet, I think that they probably had a pretty intense couple of days of practice. And I think that would lead to a hyper-focused, hyper-motivated club on Saturday at home against the number one team in the nation. It just smells like a Kentucky victory. It has for a while.
And as good as this Tennessee team is, the odds that they are going to go through an entire season of league play unblemished is very slim.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, if you come out of this group of three games with two against Kentucky, one against LSU, if you go 2-1, that to me is a success.
Huge. I would argue that you lose to Kentucky, you lose to LSU on the road, let's say. I don't think that hurts your standing. True road losses to top-ranked teams, that the committee doesn't have a problem with that, especially if you play well enough in those games to show that you're competitive, and if you come back and beat Kentucky at home, then it's a wash and the loss means nothing. So, again, this whole thing is about staying ahead of Kentucky on the seed line. The loss to LSU really helped Tennessee in staying ahead of Kentucky on the seed line. And as long as – because they're non-conference, Kentucky's got the win over North Carolina. That's a feather in their cap in Louisville. Those are two really big wins. But they got destroyed by Duke. And Tennessee beat number one in the nation. And you know, they went right toe-to-toe with Kansas. So I think – the head-to-head will be a factor. Just staying ahead of them on the seed line in the committee's eyes is the most important thing for me if I'm trying to analyze a chance to win a national championship.
615-737-1025 is our number. You can also tweet us and follow us at 1025_MD. When we come back, need a ruling on a alleged violation. Mm. We'll get into that on the other side, but it's a new year. So why not a new you? We're getting to the point now, the weather's in the 50s and the 60s, it's starting to get nice. You're going to be golfing, you're going to be playing baseball, softball, all the rec league type of sports as an adult, but you're, what, 35 years old? You can't do it like you did when you were 25 or even when you were 15. The back hurts, the neck hurts, the flexibility is diminishing. Well, here's what you got to do. Go visit my buddy Dr. Jason Christ at Christ Chiropractic in Cool Springs. Do what I did, give him a call. And check them out today at 615-771-0022. You can visit them at their office, 2025 Mallory Lane in Cool Springs. Or if you're just too lazy, go on the internets. Go to www.chrischiropractic.com. They will identify what is ailing you. Could be just a simple chiropractic adjustment. Could be spinal decompression therapy, muscle stimulation, or their roller table therapy. And they have on-site digital x-rays, so you do not need a referral. Do what I did. Visit Dr. Jason Christ today and tell him that Nick Kale sent you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, you can have it, but you gotta
let it drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game here on a Friday. We're live at Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel. Big finish coming up at 9:45. And don't forget, you can catch the MTSU Blue Raiders facing off against Marshall. Coverage begins on 94.9 Game 2 at 12:30 tomorrow. Tip-off at 1 o'clock. All right, so I need a ruling from both you, Braden.
I'm interested in this.
The Constable, and also some of our listeners, if you want to tweet us at 1025 underscore MD or call us at 615-737-1025. So my buddy on Tuesday, this was about 8:30 at night, right before I was ready to go to bed.
This is a Philly guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Sends me a text. We got blown out in our rec league game tonight, basketball, but I had 16-7. And I texted him back. I said, seven what? Boards, assists, blocks, turnovers? He said assists.
That's how many turnovers?
He didn't say, but I'm sure
like
he's
to know his efficiency.
I'm sure he's got his girlfriend with his stat book tracking.
What does Ken Pom have to say about it?
Now, here's the question. Now he is he's actually a year older than me, so he's 36.
At you're 35?
I'm 35. Okay. I just turned 35 in January. So how old is too old to either keep playing rec league sports as an adult or to discuss it with others and rehash your game as if other grown adults actually care about what you're doing in a rec league?
So, all right, I'll give you my thoughts, and then I'll let Chase chime in here because he's officially the constable. So he really is the only person that has the right to offer up citations. We can only offer recommendations for citations. He has the official notepad.
Yeah, make the case. You know,
when he pulls out his
own notepad. Well, we can call a violation.
He pulls out his little notepad.
But he's the only one with true citation power.
I think you should be allowed and – hat tip to Jeremy Gover and anyone else that plays for the Mighty Drunks, by the way. I think you should be allowed to play rec league everything for as long as you want until you die. I don't have a problem. If you are 86 and you can still knock down jump shots, go to the Y and play in pickup games, man. As someone who loves, you know, I go to there's ultimate frisbee pickup games I'll go play in. Like whatever. I don't care what it is. Like if it's basketball, if it's flag football leagues, like I've played in flag football leagues down in Franklin. I don't think there's a cutoff. There's men's adult leagues, and you know, with the Bellevue Ice Center opening up, there'll be, you know, the problem with the Ford Ice Center right now is that there's too much demand for, so all these, like, I can't play in a men's rec league. I'd love to play in a men's rec league for hockey, but all the games are like 10 p.m. at night, and I would never be able to do my job. So you know, I don't have any issue, no violation to me, with anybody playing any sport they want to. Now, if I were to come on the show and I'd be like, guys, listen, I had 16 minutes of ice time last night, had six shots on goal, had a goal and three apples, you know, and I just bragged about it on the show all day. You know, if I was one of those guys, you know, I don't know. I might draw the line on bragging about it, unless you're making fun of yourself to some degree about how you sort of dominated some kids in some rec league or something.
See, because I'm very conflicted with this, because I used to play rec league ball in my 20s post-college, played the slow-pitch beer league softball. Now the only thing I really do besides working out is play golf. So I don't know if I can call a true violation, because I know I'm guilty of texting my buddies saying, hey, shot 87 today, yeah, four birdies and three double bogeys.
I don't know. If you do that, and because I don't do that with golf. Like, I don't – even my buddies I play golf with, not that I ever have really anything to brag about, but I don't ever have anything to brag about, so I don't brag too much about how we play. If I play a good round with the guy, I'll say, man, that's like one of the best back nines I've ever had. And, you know, you get out of the cart at the end of the round and you're done with it. So I don't ever brag about that. Again, not much to brag about for me. I would never talk about how I played at the Y and, man, I was just filling it up last night.
But, like, let's just forget about the bragging if you did well. Just the bringing up to the table with the discussion of what you're doing as a 35-year-old on a Tuesday night with a bunch of other guys out of shape and out of their prime, I almost equate it to the guy who brings up his fantasy team that wants to talk. Like, we don't care about your fantasy team, so why do we care about your rec league?
Where does this guy rank amongst guys who bring up high school stuff? Like, if I sat here,
I mean,
here
he's not like Al Bundy saying I scored four touchdowns.
Right, if I sat here and was like, man, I was all Region 5A Middle Tennessee back in 1999, is that worse than bragging about, man, I went for 24-10 last night in the old church league? Like, which one's worse?
I mean, I would say your high school accomplishments carry more merit than what you're doing now.
Sure, but
20
it's still,
years removed.
But it doesn't make you sound any dumber, or it doesn't make you sound any less dumb. Like, you sound dumb talking about it either way.
Right.
Right?
Constable, what do you think?
We all make mistakes.
Don't tell anybody.
But sometimes you have to answer for them.
Bring it on, Chuck!
The Constable is on the case with weekly citations. With Chase McCabe.
What is this, a reboot of Dragnet?
This is a preview of things you can hear starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
What time does your show start tomorrow?
9 a.m.
So it's on Saturdays and it's at 9 a.m.?
Yes. Okay. On 102.5 The Game.
And you'll be talking during the show.
I will
be.
It's
just your show and we will not interrupt you.
No, you will not.
Okay.
And if you call in to try and interrupt me, I won't take your call.
You know that's what I was thinking, right? Like, Jake and I are going to call you every segment.
I'd probably do to you
this
like...
Is Bill from East Nashville.
I'll do to you like you do to Buck and hang up on you.
Hey,
good to meet you, Steve. Steve in Murfreesboro, what's up?
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
So I've been listening to the cases that you both have made here, and I'm going to say no citation. No citation issued. Look, what you do in your spare time... And if you want to brag about it, like, look, if I, you know, go and I have a really good golf score, which we know is not going to happen, I'm going to brag about it. And I'll probably do it with you two guys, you know, because I'm around you all the time. And yeah. Like, guys, guess what I shot yesterday? I don't think there's any citation. Now, if you get overboard with it, like if it's every game you give your buddies a report, then we might have to a warning is going to be issued.
So probation, right?
Yeah.
So you would issue... You'd pull him over and you'd say, listen, I'm giving you a warning. You're now on probation. If
right.
you brag one more time about your assist to turnover ratio in the church league, you get a citation.
Right. Now, if you or let's say Braden, you ask Nick, hey, how'd you shoot yesterday? Then look, you're asking. So you're asking
That's
for
true.
A report.
Valid point. I like the nuance in your approach to issuing citations and governing, Chase. You sound very benevolent and you sound like a just ruler.
Well,
you sound like someone I can live in your community, Chase.
We need more of those, so I try to be just.
Okay, so here's the next question then, because I feel like, and I don't know if they do this for this guy's basketball league, but about 10, 12 years ago when I was in a summer league for slow pitch softball, it was doubleheaders every Tuesday and Thursday night, and it was a really long, it was like a 40-game season from early May until the end of August. And my brother-in-law's girlfriend actually would bring the scorer's book and would literally track stats and then would print out the sheet each week, and there would literally be from 1 to 17, everybody's batting average on base.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm thinking, hold on a second.
So
this is way too much.
So I think it's really cool if you've got 9 guys or women, whoever, that are all locked in together, and maybe there's some, like, healthy competition there, right? So you've got, like, 9 people on a team, and at the end of the year, whoever has the most RBIs gets something, whoever has the most best batting average gets something, whoever's, you know, I could see, like, there being some, like, really, you know, I'm thinking about the league on FX now, right, like, where they have these competitions about everything. I could see that being pretty cool, but it would have to be so in-depth. You need to have all 9 people there every single game, right? You need to have somebody doing the official scoring to keep track so that at the end of the season, awards can be handed out. So I could see that being pretty cool, but it has to be like all or nothing. It can't be like 2 dudes on a basketball court that are just bragging about how much they went 8 of 12 from the floor last night in rec league basketball, and it's just, and the other 5 people on the team aren't a part of it. It doesn't seem half baked at that point.
All right, 615-737-1025. If you have any takes on that and you want to chime in, the big finish is coming up at 9:45. We're live from Kitchen Notes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live at Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Good to have you in on this Friday morning. We're just 23 hours and 30 minutes away from the return of the Chase McCabe Show. It's tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Get up, have your coffee, a little breakfast, and turn on the Constable for a couple of hours. Any specific guests that you got booked tomorrow morning, Chase?
Jeremy Gover is going to talk
Chase,
Preds.
Hey, Chase, when does your show start?
9 a.m. Saturday. That's tomorrow.
That's 9 Central?
9 Central time, okay. Yes, because we're in the Central time zone.
What time is
zone.
That Pacific time?
That would be 7 Pacific
okay.
time.
Good. I just you're
Not
big
specific,
on the coast. You're big
but
on the
Pacific.
West Coast.
You know, I've heard that.
Big in Vegas, Winnipeg. I guess that's not the West Coast, but whatever.
Winnipeg's on Central Time.
Now, are you going to do a gambling segment on this show?
It's not like a set segment, but it's definitely going to be worked in.
How about a contemplation segment on the show?
That's
a
good idea.
Try to make Nashville feel better about itself.
But I feel like that's one of those things that it just needs to be natural and organic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to, like, schedule that, and it just, if it happens, it happens. Similar with the tweets.
I'm going to tell you right now, Constable.
Okay.
If I tune in tomorrow and I hear you ranking the most indispensable Preds not named Pecorine, I'm going, I'm out. Just giving you a warning.
I think you should rank the best Preds on the 2008 team.
We could do that. We could go back and look at that. Is that when Greg DeVries came back?
Shut up.
Entertain me, Constable.
We got
Entertain
you.
Entertain me.
I got you.
All right. Big finish is coming up at 9:45. Let's look ahead, though, because you get the win against Montreal. And I asked Crispy, you know, is this a kind of game against that type of opponent in Montreal that could be a springboard moving forward? You look ahead, Vegas, Dallas, the Kings, and Colorado. Those are the next four before the trade deadline. What are your just general impressions with what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously L.A., one of the worst teams in the Western Conference, and Colorado plummeting right now to its death. You got to capitalize in those two situations. But really, it's about the road games. The Preds will not come back between games, so they play Vegas Saturday night and then Dallas on Tuesday night. They'll be away from home that whole time. It's really, really fascinating because you're going from a Montreal style of play to a Vegas style of play, which is very different, right? You're going to – very different styles of play in terms of how those two games are gonna play out and be executed. So I think that'll be fascinating. They've played very well against Vegas. They have not played very well against Dallas. So I'm fascinated to see what this weekend holds. A hard-fought, good quality 2 points last night. Some depth scoring from Ryan Hartman, who gets off the monkey off his back from a goal standpoint. Brian Boyle gets his first in a Preds uniform. Pekka plays great. Power play still needs to be better, but you kind of – that was a good, hard-fought 2 points. Go out and make it count by putting some success, stringing it together. And it's not an easy feat, but right now you got more points than Vegas. You're the better team. You've been good against them. Go out and handle your business on Saturday night. Don't get the Vegas flu. And then go to Dallas and really hone in on – I want to – Dallas Tuesday I'm really focused on. I think Vegas will be a fun game Saturday night. It's important. Every game's important. But that Dallas – moment, I'm circling that Dallas one, because then the schedule does ease up. You come home and you get the Kings and the Avalanche, which are two games you have to have at this stage of the season.
You know, I mentioned it last night, there was really a double positive for the Preds. They get the 2 points, but also Winnipeg lost. I personally am at the point, and I want to see if you guys agree or if you're with me. Are you now at the point where you're scoreboard watching, where you're tracking Winnipeg almost as much as you are the Preds?
I don't know if I'm there yet, but it's pretty close. What I'm sort of thinking, it's strange. I normally would probably say yes, I'd scoreboard watch across the board. But I think right now I'm so internally focused on the Preds, just trying to figure out what they are doing. And for them to focus on, internally on themselves, it's almost like the conversation about should we go make a trade or not if I'm David Poile. If you focus too much on what Winnipeg does or what Vegas does or what Calgary does, you may miss something, right? You got to focus inward on what you do and get what – just evaluate your own team and your own strengths and weaknesses and focus inward. So I still think I'm focused inward. I'm just, if they catch Winnipeg and they win the division, to me that's like house money. I think this team is good enough to win the cup as a 2 seed. It doesn't have to be a 1 seed to win the division. It makes their first round opponent a little bit easier. But I don't think that that's, like, to me the goal isn't win the division, because that means you're going to win the cup. I don't see those things connecting. Mm-hmm. Does it make the path a little bit easier? Sure, you'd get Winnipeg at home in the second round. You'd probably have an easier first-round battle. Maybe you have home ice in the third round. I mean, there are some tangible things that if you chase and catch them, that help you. I just think if you're playing your best hockey and you're a 2 seed, you can win the cup either way.
Sure.
So to me, I'm not as concerned with the scoreboard watching as maybe I have been in the past.
Okay, earlier in the show, one of the points of discussion we got into was you breaking down a few areas where this team is so good at that you basically believe that they're good enough in certain areas that they should win.
So if you were to rank – Like positions on the field in football, if you were to rank like things about a hockey team that are critical, mm-hmm. you'd probably rank goaltending number one. You'd probably rank your defense core number two. You'd probably rank your top line number three. You'd probably rank your head coach number four. And you'd probably rank, you know, whether you go power play, penalty kill, third line, fourth line, second line, probably second line number five. Special teams, third line, fourth line. That, you know, those eight things you'd rank in that order of importance. Well, they have arguably the best. They have the reigning Vezina Trophy winner in goal, and a tremendous backup who's playing exceptional hockey right now. His best hockey at the best time of the year. So you're great in that situation. You've got what many people call, and probably is, the best collection of four defensemen in the NHL. You've got what some people are saying is the best number one line in the NHL. You've got a coach who's been to, what, three Stanley Cup finals and has a championship trophy to his name. Those are the things you should need to win a cup. The secondary scoring is down that list. So to me, there's not really an excuse for not being a high-level team. Now, in the standings, they're a high-level team. They are. And this is where it becomes evaluation of expectations. And the expectations are that you're good enough with all those bullet points we just laid out to compete for a championship. And if you lose in the second round to Winnipeg again, it will be deemed a disappointing season. Mm-hmm. Whether the Predators – I mean, I guarantee the Predators players will tell you that. Regardless of what anybody thinks, you lose in the second round again to Winnipeg, people are going to loosely define the season as in the Cliff Notes version of disappointment. And that is because expectations have been raised, because you've got the best line in hockey, the best defense in hockey, and one of the best goaltending situations, if not the best goaltending situation in hockey, with a championship coach on the bench. There are no excuses.
And you know what's interesting is how everybody's mood and the narrative changes based on a win. I'm just looking at the Western Conference right now. The Flames, Jets, and Sharks are all tied with 75 points, just 2 points ahead of the Preds.
Yep.
And then there's a drop-off from the Preds to Vegas of 7 points. You go to the Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay is just running away with everything. They've got 90 points.
Kucherov has 4 goals and 7 assists in his last 3 games.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
And the Islanders, Maple Leafs, and Bruins have 74, 72, 75 points apiece. I mean, realistically, if
Capitals
you look at it.
Capitals at 71.
Yeah, if you look at it right now, the Lightning are really, really good. The Preds are in a group of 3 other teams in the West and 3 or 4 teams in the East.
For number two.
That second best spot in the league.
Now, the difference is Winnipeg's played 2 fewer games. Calgary's played 3 fewer games. San Jose's played 2 fewer games, and they have more points. So they're really more like 4 points behind those teams. But what this means is, like, let's say you look at Calgary. They've lost 4 straight. Look at Winnipeg. They're 5-4-1. You know, look at Vegas. It's 3-7 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one sort of bad week and the Preds to get hot for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden you're back in first place. So it's a very complex team to evaluate because there are some glaring weaknesses, but they're also pretty good. So it's just, I think that comes with the territory of being a really good franchise and being a really good team and having expectations. What do we do with Alabama all summer? We don't talk about how good they are at this or good at that or good. All we nitpick is the bad stuff, right? When you're a sports team at any level, when you get to a point of being so successful year in and year out, people don't really talk about how good you are at certain things. All we talk about is trying to find the holes, the weaknesses. We nitpick, and that's sort of what's happening right now. Now, the power play is not nitpicking. That's a legit issue. But, you know, secondary scoring, getting to the net is important in the playoffs. But you know what's more important? Goaltending. You know what's more important? Defense. You know what's more important? Your first line. And they're great they're among the NHL's best at all three of those categories. To me, that says expectations should be at least third round of the playoffs.
No doubt. Okay, when we come back, we will get to the big finish. Of course, that features the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. What we learned on today's show and on tap for the weekend. A lot to get to. Busy, busy weekend of sports, specifically with Saturday night. Preds, Vegas at 9 o'clock. But before then, the Vols in Kentucky at Lexington Rupp Arena. A lot of good stuff to get to for the weekend. We'll kick around all of that when we come back. The big finish is next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That is correct. It's time for the Morning Drive Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45. We give you the Morning Drive Daily Rewind, what we learned on today's program, as well as what is on tap tonight. And, of course, since it's a Friday, we'll give you what's on tap for the weekend. A lot of good hockey, a lot of good hoops, as we are getting closer and closer to the postseason for all the winter sports. And also, Derek Mason will be rejoining us on Monday morning. That is the plan. We're going to have to get the recap from D-Mace, who took DJ down for a college visit in Florida. That's the alleged story.
I guess I believe that.
Do we truly believe that?
Listen, Derek knows people in every corner of the world. And I'm assuming he went to some fancy restaurants and, you know, had some fancy South Beach time and hung out at the fancy clubs while DJ was back in the hotel room playing Fortnite. I'm assuming that Derek capitalized on his time in the glitzy and glamorous South Beach, mm-hmm. Southern. Although Coral Gables is a gorgeous campus, it's a great academic school. So, listen, DJ's list of schools. Not that we're like airing his stuff here, but DJ's school's impressive, man. Texas, Rice, Miami, a lot of good schools. Wants to be a neurosurgeon. How about that?
That's pretty smart.
That's way better than all of us. Better.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive off and running here on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, and the Constable, Chase McCabe. Boys, happy Friday. We made it.
I love Fridays. That's all.
Cool.
I'm a fan of Fridays. Hey, Chase McCabe Show, 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to do that all day.
Oh, golly. Over-under was like 38 seconds.
Wow. 6:01.
Not even a minute.
Not even 6:01 on a Friday.
Wow.
We are promoting the return of the Constable program.
Well, Chase, go ahead. Tell us segment by segment what the plan is.
I'm not going to spoil the surprise, but...
No, okay.
You know.
Have you written out your teases yet?
No, I have not done that.
Okay. I'm just checking. Might want to get on that. It's very important.
I'm going to do that after this show.
Yeah.
Listen to these theories. And she texted me all of them like in real time. So she thinks that Michael Jackson has been cloned in real life.
Okay.
The Uber driver thinks that Michael Jackson has been cloned in real life, that Kim Kardashian has been cloned in real life, that Ice Cube is really one of the Jacksons. So, like, he was part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That Rihanna is Whitney Houston's daughter, which is, I wish Derek Mason was here. That Rihanna is Whitney Houston's daughter, and that Michael Jackson is Tony Braxton's dad.
This is pretty deep.
These are all of the theories that this guy is telling my wife at 10:45 on a, you know.
So these are,
I'm assuming it's a guy.
These are entertainment conspiracy theories.
I guess.
Because some people think Khloe Kardashian is actually O.J. Simpson's daughter. Could add that to the mix as well.
Khloe or Kim Kardashian?
I think Khloe.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it is Khloe.
Is that like a legitimate conspiracy theory that people have actually floated out there?
A lot of people have believed it.
There's no chance that Ice Cube is one of the Jacksons. Right? There's like zero chance.
No.
That's a thing. That Rihanna is Whitney Houston's daughter and that Michael Jackson is Tony Braxton's dad. Where do you come up with this stuff? There are two Kim Kardashians in life.
This is pretty
deep. She's been cloned.
Like, so he could have said Michael Jackson is still alive, and I would have been like, you've heard these kind of stories. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is this the Weezer cover?
Yeah, I still got to go get that.
Boy, we've really given that a lot of run.
He hasn't played any of it since that one day it came out.
No, I did when you were gone. I did when you were gone.
You played on Wednesday?
Yeah, I played a song when you were gone.
When I was out.
Yeah.
I think Weezer deserves run.
Yeah?
Weezer's great.
Yeah. Weezer's
awesome.
What's
wrong with Weezer? You're not a Weezer guy?
No, yeah, it's okay.
I'm
kind of like the Titans on them. I'm like 9-7. I can either get off to the left, get off to the right, get off the fence.
I saw him at Bonnaroo in 2010. Phenomenal. Chaser, did you see either of the shows they did at the Ryman a couple years ago where they played the entire Blue Album?
No, I tried to get tickets to that. I tried to call in every favor I had, and I couldn't. And then I only was going to be able to make it to one show anyway because I was going to New Orleans. But I had friends that went, and it was awesome.
They're great, dude. They're awesome. You're underselling. You're undervaluing Weezer and the number of hits they've had over the years.
Chase, what time's your show tomorrow?
9 a.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe Show. You want to check it out?
What's on the docket?
Well, we'll talk Preds, of course. They take on Vegas. Jeremy K. Gover going to join the program. Also, I will, because it's the debut show, I'm debuting everything, but I will debut citations. I'm going to hand out some citations from the week.
How great would it have been if the Uber driver said, you know, Jeff Fisher is actually Mike Vrabel's dad?
Or, you know, Mike, I mean, he's my kid. I mean, out there, you know, coaching defense. I was a defensive coach, and he knows how to coach great players. I mean, that's what I did. So, you know, Mike doing a good job. Dad's proud. Dad's proud.
can you take a left here, Jeff?
Please,
you missed
left,
my
yeah.
turn. Like if I sat,
I mean,
here
he's not like he's not like Al Bundy saying I scored four touchdowns.
Right. If I sat here and was like, man, I was all Region 5A Middle Tennessee back in 1999. It, like, is that worse than bragging about, man, I went for 24-10 last night in the old church league? Like, which one's worse?
I mean, I would say your high school accomplishments carry more merit than what you're doing now.
Sure, but it's still, but it doesn't make you sound any dumber, or it doesn't make you sound any less dumb. Like, you sound dumb talking about it either way.
Right.
Right?
Constable, what do you think?
We all make mistakes.
Don't tell anybody.
But sometimes you have to answer for them.
Bring it on, Chuck!
The Constable is on the case with weekly citations. Now with Chase McCabe.
What is this, a reboot of Dragnet?
This is a preview of things you can hear starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Wait, what time does your show start tomorrow?
9 a.m.
So it's on Saturdays and it's at 9 a.m.?
Yes. Okay. On 102.5 The Game.
And you'll be talking during the show.
I will be.
It's just your show, and we will not interrupt you.
No, you will not.
Okay.
And if you call in to try and interrupt me, I won't take your call.
You know that's what I was thinking, right? Like, Nick
oh, I
and
know.
I are going to call you every segment.
I'd probably do to you
this
like...
This is Bill from East Nashville.
I'll do to you like you do to Buck and hang up
Hickory.
On you.
Hey, good to meet you, Steve. Steve in Murfreesboro, what's up?
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
So I've been listening to the cases that you both have made here, and I'm going to say no citation. No citation issued. Look, what you do in your spare time, and if you want to brag about it, like, look, if I, you know, go and I have a really good golf score, which we know is not going to happen, I'm going to brag about it. And I'll probably do it with you two guys, you know, because I'm around you all the time. And yeah. Like, guys, guess what I shot yesterday? I don't think there's any citation. Now, if you get overboard with it, like if it's every game you give your buddies a report, then we might have to a warning is going to be issued.
So probation, right?
Yeah.
So you would issue... You'd pull him over and you'd say, listen, I'm giving you a warning. You're now on probation.
Right.
If you brag one more time about your assist to turnover ratio in the church league, you get a citation.
And that was the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. It's part of the Big Finish each and every day here on Morning Drive at 9:45. All right, let's get to what we learned on today's broadcast.
We learned today.
So I have learned today that Chase McCabe is not really any different from Buck Rising in the realm of self-promotion. Buck Rising really believes in promoting his own brand, and I think the Constable is very self-aware right now with the relaunch and the reboot of the Chase McCabe Show that it's about him right now.
It
the
is.
Constable's very locked into this moment.
Well,
he's
I mean,
ready to seize the opportunity.
I think that's fair.
I'm
okay
also impressed you know it's a reboot. That's good because that was before your time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, I have no problem with self-promotion. I think he's in it.
I'm in it to win it.
To win it, yeah. So,
you know, and like I've been around you guys for a year now, and it's just we got to keep the money train going here. Morning
so
Drive.
I learned that Michael Jackson is actually Toni Braxton's dad, that both Michael Jackson and Kim Kardashian have been cloned, that Rihanna is Whitney Houston's daughter, and that Ice Cube is one of the Jacksons. This all according to my wife's Uber driver last night from the airport. Mm. And that's a source that's very reliable. So I have learned that Ice Cube is one of the Jacksons. And Rihanna is Whitney Houston's daughter.
Okay.
Find out what D-Mace thinks about that.
All right. Constable, did you learn anything today?
I have learned that Derek Mason might never come back because you brought this up earlier that do we know if he's alive? We haven't heard from him.
We haven't heard a single thing from him.
And I kind of started to get worried because he is like, he's off the map.
Now, I was going to say, do we expect text message? Because Nick claimed he was going to go dark when he went back to Philly for a couple of days.
Yeah, but if he says that, we know.
Right, but he made it like 70-plus hours. He almost made it like 2.5 days there, almost 3 days, I think, without, you know, sending out a tweet. But you didn't make it the full length of the time that we bet on.
Right.
So just out of curiosity.
Now, when I go to Vegas, do you guys want me to go dark or do you want, like, play-by-play?
No.
I want you to go broke.
I want Periscope live. I want YouTube videos. I want... I want to boom.
You want evidence.
Yeah, I want production, high-level production value.
I want you to get married to Ricky while you're in Vegas.
Please. Oh, my God. Would you do that? Oh,
no.
My God. That would be so funny.
I mean, I could see this trip being like The Hangover where I lose Ricky and then I end up getting married.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, but then it wouldn't be real love.
Right.
No.
Only Ricky truly loves you for who you are.
That's whatever.
All right, Chase. Let's get to On Tap tonight.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight. Now on Morning Drive.
All right, obviously the big doubleheader tomorrow with the hoops and then into hockey on Saturday night. But if you are able to venture into some sports television over the weekend, I would say take a peek at the NBA All-Star Game, which is Sunday night. Not for the first, not the first 36 minutes, but the final.
Wait,
final
the NBA All-Star Weekend is this weekend?
That is correct. Nobody even knew.
I had no idea.
How crazy is that? But the final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter is pretty entertaining, pretty compelling to see the best in the world going at it when they actually start playing. So I will peek in on that late Sunday evening.
And you can hear that starting at 6:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So I am 100% locked into, of course, both Preds at Vegas and Kentucky at Tennessee basketball, or Tennessee at Kentucky basketball. But I'm going to throw another one out there, deep dive. College baseball season starts today.
Oh,
and in Scottsdale, Arizona, at a tournament, you've got Vanderbilt versus Virginia, a rematch of two College World Series finals in the first round of that tournament. Vandy, number one in the nation by basically everybody. So Vanderbilt baseball, keep an eye on that. Florida plays Long Beach State. That's an interesting little matchup there. A lot of good SEC action. Arkansas is ranked. Auburn's ranked. LSU's ranked. So keep an eye on all that. Hey, SEC baseball is awesome, man.
Hey, I will
it's awesome.
Braden, since you mentioned Vandy baseball, shout out to our very own Max Herz. He is actually going to be calling the play-by-play for Vandy baseball during this tournament and a few other games.
All right. Also, I will throw in the golf for the weekend because Tiger Woods is playing. So if
I get to throw in college baseball, you get to throw in golf.
If you want to live vicariously through your television with great weather, tune in to the golf. It's out at Riviera in Los Angeles.
I'm also going to spend the next 8 hours planning a bourbon trail for a fantasy draft. Definitely doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville's got Bullet, Angels Envy. Yeah, going Louisville over Lexington.
All right. We'll come back Monday, try to do a better job. I don't know if that's possible because it's a heck of a show. That's why we're 17th in the country. That'll do it for Morning Drive. Talk to you Monday at 6.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, Derek loves you.